Hey, and welcome back to That Podcast. I'm Mark Soldrum, and you're joining us today. And as always, we have Pastor DJ Lura with us. We have Dana Mashevsky and Sarah DeYoung. And we are talking about stuff today, God and stuff.
Ash Wednesday. Do you guys know what Ash Wednesday is all about? The beginning of Lent starts with Ash Wednesday.
Remembering you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Yeah.
Did you know that there is a conspiracy on the internet and like many
on the internet?
It gets weirder that
who would have put that there?
There are some youths.
Ooh, we don't have the
believe
Brian's conspiracy theory
that the ashes on Ash Wednesday are like crematorium ashes, and I've seen many TikTok videos pastors having to be like,
somebody asked me just that week, like, where do you get the ashes? And I said, local funeral home.
Yeah.
And they were
this is the problem.
Really? And I said, no, they're palms.
You know what's
they're
really?
Palm branches that are burnt. But if you're going to burn them someplace, the crematorium is probably the best place to burn them.
You know what's hilarious? You and I together have probably inadvertently started rumors because I've been saying the exact same thing.
This is why the internet says that's the problem. It's you
they
two.
They share a brain cell.
Just one cell.
Someone asked me, they're like, so where do we get
brain
the ashes?
Cells. You share one and then you each have your own collectively.
As serious as I could be, someone asked me, so where do you get the ashes? I said, the funeral home. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Didn't we also have a funeral?
No.
And then I started laughing. They're like,
maybe.
Oh, you're joking. I'm like, yes, I'm joking.
Yep.
Ash Wednesday is the closest thing that Christians have to a Day of Atonement. In the Jewish religion, they have Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and that's the beginning of Lent. The Ash Wednesday service does not end with it being completed until the end of Lent. So when we end Ash Wednesday, technically we don't say, go in peace, serve the Lord. It's open-ended. Because then
that had a purpose?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everything has a purpose in the liturgy, whether you realize it or not, and that's part of the problem with the liturgy.
I thought it was more of a, like, ashes take time, so we're just going to not do the end.
No.
Okay.
It's left open-ended, and it's completed on Maundy Thursday, because Maundy Thursday then has a split in the service, and all of Lent is tied into it. So you have 40 days of Lent, right? Mm-hmm. But that, if you counted the actual days of Lent, if you pull out a calendar and count it, you'd be like, wait a minute, there's more than 40 days. It's because every Sunday throughout the liturgical calendar is considered Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday,
that's not confusing.
Every Sunday is the resurrection.
DJ, you would be so proud of me.
I'm
self-proclaimed the liturgical guy. I'm low church, right? But somebody talked to me the other day and said, how come we don't sing Lent songs on Sunday? And I said, well, technically, because every Sunday is Easter. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate Christ's resurrection on that. And then during the week, we celebrate Lent. Really? I never heard that before.
Look at that.
I paid attention in my class. Thank you, Monstag.
Is that how so back to the last episode, we talked about giving stuff up for Lent.
Yeah.
Growing up, it was, you can always cheat on Sunday.
Yep. Sunday, go
Sunday
nuts.
Sunday is not Lent.
That's right.
It's all coming together now.
Yeah.
If you counted up, owe me a couple egg hunts.
If you counted up all the days and included all the Sundays, I want to say that Lent lasts like 47 days. If you count up all the...
There are 6 weeks of Lent, and then the Holy Week is the seventh week. Yep. And I know that because I've been writing dramas for 10 years. And you have to have six Wednesday dramas, and then a Monday, Thursday, and a Good Friday drama. So
the Sunday prior to Easter Sunday is Palm Sunday, but it's also called Passion Sunday. And that's when we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into the last week of his life, which was a week. It was a week long. But often on that day, the entire story of Jesus' ministry is shared and celebrated when it's called Passion Sunday. However, Ash Wednesday, the service for Ash Wednesday is still continuing until Maundy Thursday. And in Maundy Thursday, then you get the absolution, which is not present in Ash Wednesday. What you receive is the ashes as a sign of repentance. The absolution is the forgiveness of sins that happens on Maundy Thursday, and then it transitions into what's called the Triduum.
Bless you.
Thank you. My triduum's acting up.
Isn't that where you put the duck inside the chicken and then inside
the turkey? Oh, it's so good.
Turkey
fried?
Yeah. It's
nothing better than deep fried triduum.
Triduum.
Someone asked me, what does Mondi mean? And Mondi comes from Latin. It comes from the word mandatum. It's where we get our word mandate. So what does mandate mean? I'm asking the question.
Oh, okay.
This is a fishing question.
This is a fishing question. I know the answer.
He knows the answer.
You guys know.
I just thought I'd clarify.
It's been getting confusing lately. What does mandate mean?
You have to do
it. It's an order. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Yeah.
It's a command. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus, on Maundy Thursday, we commemorate Jesus giving us the new commandment. You know how we have like the commandments of Moses, mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments. We receive a new commandment, which is love one another as I have loved you, right? And that's Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. But on Maundy Thursday, also the institution or the command to receive the new covenant, the Lord's Supper, is also established on Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday ends with the Triduum, which is the reading of the arrest of Jesus and the stripping of the altar. Because now what's going to happen is the events of Good Friday and Holy Saturday, which leads up to Easter Sunday. That's the Triduum, the 3 days, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, or as we call it around here.
Egg scramble.
Egg scramble.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking how they came up with the name. He's like, what are we supposed to do for those days? I don't know. There's three things to do. Well, we better Triduum.
Better Triduum.
Yeah.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. That's actually pretty good.
Thank you. The interesting thing about Palm Sunday is I just did a funeral, and we talked. One of the verses that they had me read was the story of Jesus coming in the clouds, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, we'll all fly up to meet him and greet him coming. And many people think about that as, well, that must be us flying up into heaven. But what it really is a hearkening back to Palm Sunday, hearkening back to Jesus' triumphal entry on the donkey coming into Jerusalem, a king's entry.
Oh, sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he comes in, and we go out of the city to greet him coming in right. on Palm Sunday, and then we all march in with him.
Oh, nice.
And the same is true of that verse. Jesus coming back on the clouds is him making his triumphal entry back to earth in the second coming. We all go up to greet him, and then we all march back down to the new heaven.
So is that
earth.
The Thessalonians verse? The where they get the rapture theology?
Right.
Because we're raptured?
It's misunderstanding.
You're right. You're absolutely
it's people
right.
think we're being flown off and we're gone. No, we're just going up to
meet them, and we're going to come right back down.
Right. We're part of the parade of the king coming back in.
I can't find someone. I can't say that they were raptured anymore, because that's not true.
Well, I mean, they've been. Well, they'll just be coming back soon.
It's interesting. Rapture, well, DJ is expert on this, sure. but
if
that's,
it actually happens and we're wrong, then we'll eat crow on that one.
Well, hopefully we'll be forgiven for that. But it's really an American theology. Other parts of the world don't think like that. It came out of American Christianity.
Right. You mean to tell me Americans don't pay attention to what's happening in other parts of the world?
So anyways.
So I think last episode, right, we were talking.
Trying to get me in trouble?
The thing in the center.
Speaking to myself.
Us, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So the last episode, right,
everything
we were talking
revolves
about.
Around us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not the sun.
Oh, yes, I see.
Not the sun, earth, moon, it's us.
Yes.
So I love making that connection, because it
that's really cool.
It makes me think about the first coming was the first triumphal entry was for the crucifixion mm-hmm. and the resurrection, and the second triumphal entry will be for the restoration of all things.
Yeah.
Two important pieces there, and Jesus coming in triumphantly. So,
I love that.
We just don't see it that way when we look at the cross.
Right.
You know, it's a foolishness. But it's the power of God right there.
I love that. That's
it's like
really
I'm
cool.
quoting Paul there.
It's almost like you're reading it right out of the Bible.
I've read that.
It sounds like
I've read
something
that
God
section.
Would say.
I've read that section.
So we have Maundy Thursday. Mm-hmm. Then we have Good Friday. Mm-hmm. On Good Friday, we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. And why do we call it good and not bad Friday?
It's a morbid day.
Right?
It is actually it's sad for a lot of people when they remember the sacrifice. Maybe your grandma would lay on the guilt that day.
I have somebody who's laid on more guilt that day. I'm pretty sure it was the first year you were here, DJ.
Oh,
doing the noon service. I was running slides and I left. I was like, the service got done. I didn't like leave in the middle,
did I cut you to the core?
Sure it ended with you killed Jesus. I was like, I did. Oh. It was very deep. It was a great sermon, but I left like,
he's not wrong.
Oh.
But
you've been caught in the act and being caught by the act.
And it's emotional for a lot of people. The drama has been very emotional for a lot of people too, because we do sort of the Alfred Hitchcock way of doing things, right? We don't actually show the crucifixion. We don't actually show this, but those parts are led up to and implied. Mm-hmm. And it's very, can be very meaningful.
The old shadow on the wall.
And I personally find it part of my faith to sort of recenter myself. A great theologian who I love, Timothy Keller, recently passed away, but he said one time, you'll really grasp Christianity when you realize how much of a sinner you are, when you when you realize that you're far greater sinner than you think you are, but also that you're loved far more than you think and you could even imagine that you are. And that's what Good Friday does for me. Like, like, why would you do that for me? So
I'm humbled that that hit home for you, because every Good Friday for me, that was the message that actually changed my life. Because it becomes Good Friday when exactly that message hits home and you realize that, wait, this isn't the end of the story. We have, you know, within this upcoming, this is Friday, on Sunday, Jesus is going to be risen. And even the worst thing that I could be accused of and implicated for, he forgives. And if he can forgive me of that, he can forgive me of anything. One of Mark's and my teachers, I don't know if you had him for any classes, but Gerhard Ferdy wrote...
I did. I had him for confessions.
Okay. He wrote something called Caught in the Act, and it was reflections on the work of Jesus on the cross. It cut me to the core so much when I read it that I read it every year, and I read it leading up to Good Friday, and what I'm trying to... When I'm given the honor to preach on Good Friday, what I'm trying to preach is what that message said to me, because I'm preaching really to myself. And that comes out, and it comes out a lot. Like, I say it a lot. On Good Friday, maybe it hits a little bit more home, but I say it a lot. Your sin is named at the cross.
Here's the cool thing. That is not the end, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's why Easter is so, well, Holy Week especially, is just so good for me, because, like, we cover all of the major pieces in a short period of time. So people not only realize where the Lord's Supper is coming from on Monday, Thursday, and how it's so important for us, and not only realize on Good Friday how much he's the sacrifice he made for us and how big a deal that is, but then just 2 days later, we realize what he's done for us, and the resurrection of Christ then opens the door for us too. And it's not the guilt thing is one thing, right? But for me, it's less of a, oh, I should feel bad, right. And more of I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. Yes, I feel guilty for my sin, but then that pushes me into overwhelming gratitude.
Yeah, and I would add, too, that I don't think any preacher worth their salt is trying to guilt you into feeling bad about, but rather to help you realize that, yeah, you are a sinner, too. Most of us spend most of our time denying the fact of that we're sinners or that we're going to die someday. And that's one of those things during the season of Lent that we kind of come to terms with. You start with, remember that you are dust and the dust you shall return. Good Friday is you are not perfect in yourself and going to escape the reality of sin, death, all those things. Jesus has done that for you. And so, what that all leads to with Good Friday is then Holy Saturday. And Holy Saturday is not a huge thing for evangelicals or Protestants so much as it is for Roman Catholics who do something called an Easter Vigil, which is a service that usually starts around 10 p.m. at night and goes till about 3 or 4 in the morning. And then they get like an hour of sleep if they do get any sleep. And then they have an Easter sunrise service. We don't do an Easter vigil here. Instead, what we do is, I think a good tradition as well is our Easter egg scramble,
mm-hmm.
where we're opening the church to the community and purposely saying, come in. I'm not trying to hit you.
No, I'm
talking
moment.
With my hands.
I know, I'm having a moment of why do I sit next to the people who talk with their hands, okay?
I don't have a knife in my hand. Like,
one of our coworkers is known for talking with her hands.
When she has a fork.
And you got to be careful when she's working in the kitchen. That's all I'm saying.
Just having trauma, okay?
I'll cross my arms here. So on Easter, on Holy Saturday, we have the Easter egg scramble, which is this wonderful event of bringing community together to the church.
So many people in this mm-hmm. building.
It's so many people. And I don't know. I love it. I think it's such a great counterpoint to kind of the feel of Good Friday, mm-hmm. right? And it all leads up to the celebration on Easter Sunday.
I just had the thought. You love it, but you stand by like the door and just talk to people.
That was what I was told to do.
I'm doing my job. What?
Hey, we have also served as the lost child station as
true.
Well.
Well, which
one year
heroes.
There was three of them that we reunited.
That's true.
Haven't lost one kid. They've all found their way home.
Found three, got them back connected.
Yep. Which, you know, means that we've earned our hats as shepherds.
Yes.
Protecting the flock.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. that's our job.
Yeah, 1,000 to 1, so doing good.
Yeah, so that's
and then,
the triduum.
And then when they're tridone, on Easter Sunday, right? So not only is Good Friday.
And they're ready to go and do a long coma very, wipe sleep.
Yes,
after all
very,
that.
But Good Friday is very powerful for me. Yeah. But Easter Sunday, like, you kick it up a notch. Mm-hmm. Like, every Sunday is a celebration of what God's done for you, but you just kick it up a notch mm-hmm. on Easter and mm-hmm. and you pull out the stops. Yeah. You know what's interesting is...
We drink a lot of coffee.
We are. because of our sort of Lutheran heritage, you know, we're not Catholic, but we're not sort of evangelical Protestant either. So we've got this sort of hodgepodge of the two worlds in a way. But a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters don't celebrate Holy Week like we do.
Right.
They don't have Monday, Thursday, and they don't have Good Friday. And
I didn't know what Monday, Thursday was until I started working here.
Yeah.
Most Never heard it be called that.
Most
well,
people
and,
don't.
And
most
some people don't. Some churches will celebrate Good Friday, but not Monday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fascinating thing is there's some Christian artists that I like that often do a Good Friday concert.
Mm-hmm.
And it always like puzzles me. Like, oh, I'd love to come to your concert, but why do you do it on a day where I want to be in church?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh yeah, the churches that they grew up in probably don't have that. So it's interesting though. They're establishing their own tradition of doing something on Good Friday, and it's not in the congregation. It's a concert.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's kind of the last point that I want to put on this is that
hopefully they're giving it away for free.
Yes.
And not using it as a money opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, you got expenses, I'm sure, but.
Well, and so this is kind of the last point that I want to put on with the liturgical calendar. All of it is this great liturgical, theological word. Ultimately, it's adiaphora. Whether we have Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, Ash Wednesday, all of these things, is really about good order in order to pass on the faith, because the liturgical calendar grew during a time when people couldn't read. And so the church was telling the story of Jesus throughout the season of the year. So people would come in and experience this. That's where the tradition of like the Lenten plays come from. People are experiencing the gospel who couldn't read it. And even if they could read, they couldn't read it in their own language, because it wouldn't be outside of the language of Latin for the average person until the time of the Lutheran Reformation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was the spark that started the Lutheran Reformation. So all of this stuff like is not necessary. But if it enriches your faith life and it points you to Jesus, then it's a good thing. If it becomes an idol, mm-hmm. well, then it's no longer any good.
Sarah and I were having a discussion yesterday about how to...
Is Sarah not that
My too. Sarah, sorry. My wife, Sarah, and I were having a discussion about how to get something done in our house because neither one of us are sort of type A, you know, personalities. We're both big picture, I suppose. And I said...
Wonder and invention.
Yes.
Over tenacity.
Yes. And... oh. You know, every time I try and say something profound...
I just wanted to be like Freddie Mercury and
breaking
pull the whole
his
thing
microphone.
Out.
Wow. Here, let's assist. Yeah. A little assist there.
I think we should start like having a timer of when it's going to happen in the episode that I
break
really
the mic.
We
really need an over under.
Okay, we'll work on that.
Okay, she can't breathe.
No, and
she's
I just
done.
Said to her that, you know, what I found is if you put it on the calendar, then it'll get done. And the liturgical calendar, you won't hear me probably arguing for certain parts of that, but I do like the rhythm of well, it's Lent, so now we talk about this, and it's Good Friday, so we remember this, and it's Easter, so we make sure to make it a big celebration.
Yeah,
those things sort of help make sure that we don't forget those points. And even Christmas, we got to have a point to talk about Jesus' birth. Without it being on the calendar, maybe we'd did we talk about that this year? So that's good. But you won't find me arguing for liturgical colors. You won't find me...
not even like a good, solid sweater or sock.
It is indeed made right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer
thanks
and praise to you.
I respect people that I know and appreciate that do like those more fine points, liturgical calendar. I think just sort of big milestones help. So
I think you're right. And you know what? Like I said, when any of the doings of the stuff of the church become beyond tradition and into an idol and people forget why they're doing it, that's really when those things become a problem. But there's nothing wrong with having, like you sharing that, you know, whether you really are into weekly liturgy one way or another, you grew up with Lent. And Lent is part of your DNA and the life of this church. It just is.
Yep.
But this is not by any means a...
And on Ash Wednesday, all the pastors were dressed in black or dark gray. And somebody said, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing. And I'm like, it is because if you spill ashes on yourself... Oh, it was you. Yeah, if you spill ashes on your black...
I was wearing red or something. No, I was wearing pink because it was Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
It was like,
but
okay,
we were all wearing black.
Y'all are wearing black. Fine, but then, whatever.
This was
send
more,
out a memo.
This was more practical because we were doing ashes, and
do
I knew
how
if
hard
I
it
spilled
to get those
it
stains
on.
Out.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the one time of the year that I know that Mark is wearing a liturgically correct color because he'll wear black or you can wear purple on Ash Wednesday. I am someone who, if people haven't figured this out yet, I will always wear a shirt. Because I love the fact that I don't have to wear a clerical here.
I've figured this out.
But
already.
I will wear.
I did when I had to edit videos.
I will wear the liturgical color I'll wear a shirt, but then I'll wear usually like a black sweater over it when it's cold. So we're in purple right now, and it'll be white come Easter.
There you go.
Because when you look at all of my like TikToks that I had to make of clips from your sermons, you were wearing the same thing every Sunday, so it looked like I just took the same day and made eight different.
I wash it every week, so
it's clean.
It's clean.
Just don't get too close on the handshake.
Yeah,
he's fine.
It's fine.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg wears that same hoodie all the time.
Steve Jobs wore a black turtleneck.
Forever.
I'm trying to get the same kind of misty look that Pigpen has from Peanuts. I just wear the same thing every week. Soon it'll just...
Is that the cloud that moves with you when you go around?
Is there like a fly, too?
Yes. Yep. Just
you want your own
all the way around.
Fantastic. Glad we have that recorded, too.
It's been 40 days of Lent. When's he going to change his shirt? Man.
Okay. Yeah.
No, athletes don't change. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Like your lucky socks or something.
Yes, your lucky socks.
Oh, that's his Lenten socks.
Lenten socks.
I thought I smelled something.
It's not the soup.
It's not the soup.
That's his triduum. Triduum socks. All right. Very good. Okay, well, there we go, guys. Now you know it all. You know what it's
again,
all about.
Again, we're tridone.
We're tridone.
Yeah.
Finally. Oh, wow.
That was. Yep.
I want to say that at the end of Good Friday, we are tridone.
It is.
It is tridone.
Instead of it is finished, it is tridone.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of that podcast. I'm going to cut us off here before we hear Tradum again.
Tradum, dun, dun.
This was a splendiferous.
Woo!
Yes.
Good word.
I'm
good
not
word.
The only one. You're not the only one that can come up with a fascinating word.
You know what's funny?
Those when words are riveting, though.
When I was looking for words, that was the word I was looking for.
Splendiferous?
I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Splendiferous.
I haven't done my New York Times word games today, so I'm not on my A game for words.
Queen bee.
Yeah, one time.
All you week. Guessed.
All week? If you don't do, what is it, spelling bee?
Mm-hmm.
Start doing it. It's really fun.
On the New York Times games.
I'm afraid I have more things on my plate than some right, times well. Are humanly
possible. I understand
possible.
All the words they said. I have no idea what they're talking about. Does that make
old.
Sense to you? I am old.
Right under the bus.
Wait a minute. I'm the oldest one in the room.
It's
you know,
the spirit.
I want this to go on the record, though, that on Sunday, DJ preached, and he did a fine job, but he referred to me as Pastor Paul twice.
Ooh.
And I'm assuming he's referring to the Reverend Paul Cross, our former senior pastor, who Reverend Dr. Paul Cross, good friend of mine.
That was
so
a,
that's a who, compliment.
That was a high compliment.
That's a compliment.
Or was he
compliment.
Calling you like Pastor Paul, like Paul the Apostle? Was he a pastor?
Could have been a little bit of that too. Yeah,
I would have been okay with that. That's also a high compliment.
I was preaching about Paul.
Oh.
And calling Mark Paul. But either one, I think, is you're in pretty good company.
I think I was probably, I mean, if you had to put the two of us together, I'm thinking that I'm more Barnabas and you're more Paul.
Mm.
You know.
So you're more hortatory and I'm more didactic?
I think so.
Okay.
Didn't we already close this episode out?
Yep. Yep.
Just got to play the music, just like the Emmys.
Also, right, you never we're told done. Us why it's called Good Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
I thought I made that clear.
No, because I mean, everything you said did not.
What was accomplished
and
was
good.
Yeah.
Oh. What
when,
was accomplished?
When it hits home that you are a sinner, then suddenly the death and resurrection of Jesus becomes good news.
Oh, okay.
Not just news.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's
play music.
Well, it's the best news
well, that
ever.
That was anticlimactic. Yep. Moving on.
Yeah, in the words of a band, it's the best news ever.
Yeah, best news ever.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us again for that podcast.